Hey, you. Yes, you guessed 10,542. Change your username. And while you're in a More Like Radio live page listening to fine quality programming, notice the banner ad just slightly above the chat room? It's a link to something you want in Amazon. Click it. It's probably reminding you to order something you need from Amazon.com. Don't leave MLR and type the URL like a sucker. Just click the link and it'll open in a new window. This way you can buy your shit and continue listening to the show. Now, change your username. Right there on the right, stupid.
Hey, listeners. Yes, that means you. Missed your favorite More Like Radio shows live? No problem. Just go to morelikeradio.com/downloads. That's morelikeradio.com/downloads. More Like Radio's RSS feed works with your iThings, Zooms, Androids, Windows Phone, and anything else that can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you're so awesome that you only get your podcasts from iTunes, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes by clicking the Subscribe to iTunes link right on the Downloads page. So what are you waiting for? Download More Like Radio podcasts and subscribe to our feed now. Yes, right now. Do it.
Obviously, I was... Oh, never mind. I'm not going to explain it, but...
No, explain radio to Ashley.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. Would you mind taking Colin for a walk about 8?
Huh? Just 2,000 hours. Oh, yeah.
Now, here's your host. That's Ashley, and this is...
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Antisocial Game Radio, live on morelikeradio.com. I am indeed back from Florida after my little vacation. Had a lot of fun, saw a lot of things, some things I didn't want to see, mainly Joe and Merge's cocks, but yeah, it's another story for later in the show. Yeah, I'm back. I had a great time, and I will be telling you all about it. So if you do want to get in touch with the show, you can Skype in. It's Antisocial Game Radio. It's all one word on Skype. But yeah, I'm sort of wondering how to go about this now, because I know I've got to do me regular bits. I do have a special announcement right at the end of the show, but I'll save that till the end. But yeah, I'm sort of wondering, a mix and matching up what I've been playing and basically how the trip went. I'm going to think I'll do what I've been playing first, which will sort of cross into some of the trip stuff as I go. But yeah, as usual, don't forget if you you like smoking, you want to quit, try e-cigarettes. You know, go to vapormania.com. Basically, we have a coupon. We have a coupon code. It's MLR. You can add that to the coupon code when you finish up your order, and you get 10% off. I've been playing quite a bit, to be honest. Even though I've been away. I've been playing tons over in America and tons of stuff over here. I'll go into the stuff over here first. Final Fantasy, of course, naturally, as you'd expect. I got my main character up to 50. I'm very happy I capped him off. Basically being away, it gave me access to a whole bunch of like leave quests to do. And then there was, what else was there? Like, just other stuff. Basically, I just sort of... Before I left, I farmed out a load of crafting items, which I could turn in for the high-quality points. And basically, I think 4 out of the 8 crafting, I think it's got goldsmithing, armory, culinarian, and there's one more, which I think might be weaver. I don't know, weaver or leathercraft. Something anyway. Basically, 4 of my crafting skills... I have got them up to 50. So basically there's 4 more which need to get to 50, and my gathering stuff's still at roughly 45, roughly. It'll get to 50 in the end, and the fact that pretty much a month and a half from now we have the next expansion, which bumps everything up to 60. So basically I'm sort of I don't know whether I should be running or walking slowly when it comes to sort of my crafting stuff. I don't know. I'm playing it by ear, see how we go. But yeah, I am having fun that I'm at level 50. I finished off my Black Mage quest line. I got my relic armor. I think it's the relic armor. I don't know. It's basically the stuff that looks that makes me look like Wizardmon from Digimon. Basically, you know, wizard's hat, you know, proper with the brim and everything. Big long coat, you know, wizard robe, boots, gloves, the full works. Yes, I got that, and I've been buying. You know, I chucked a whole shitload of stuff up in the auction house before I left for America. Sold a whole lot of it, made a nice shit ton of money, which basically made me very happy. I bought a load of stuff, spent a load of stuff. I'm literally pretty much broke. I think I've got like 20,000 to my name. That's about it, because I've basically been buying high quality items and advanced items. Like, you know, for my Black Mage, I bought an Astral Ring, a high quality one, which was like, I think it was like 40,000. It's basically a whole bunch of shit to basically increase my level of, you know, my item level. Because now that I'm a 50, it's basically into your item level grinding, trying to get that stuff higher. Which is going well. It's going well. I'm not complaining or anything, but it is going good. But yeah, I mean, like for my goldsmith, I bought today. I think today I bought like some sort of what the fuck was it? Goldsmithing turban, some sort of hat gear and a body piece, both high quality. To get me up to the next, basically the first rank of when you get to 50, you buy this set of armor, and then once you're like a millionaire, you can buy this set of armor, which is like, you know, some stuff I've seen. Sorry, I got a bit of a cold. Some stuff I've seen, it's like 700,000, 800,000 for each piece, and I'm like, yeah, I don't really need that at the moment, even though the stats are good, they're really, really good. Even though, I mean, compared to the stats I've got, because literally I've just been grinding leave quests for the past 10-15 levels on all my classes, so basically I've still got item gear that's basically for like level late 30s, like level 38, some 40 stuff, but basically just want to grind that shit out and buy the better gear for each job, so when I get to, you know, for level 50 I have level 50 gear at the first rank of what it should be, because I know when we get the expansion there's a whole bunch of new gear, and basically it's a bit playing Zynga games. Yeah, no, I'm not playing any Zynga games, Matty. No, they're fucking going under, mate. They're going under worse than Tesco's. Well, no, yeah, I probably would actually pay real money for last night, I'm sitting at level 49. I've got about, I think it was 40,000 experience points I needed to get to level 50, and I'm like, on different forums, I'm like, yeah, okay, what the fuck do I do? Anyone got tips for how to get all this experience? And they said, well, just do your daily challenges. So I did a bunch of them, and then I sort of joined up with a bunch of fates, people do this party doing fates, which you get like 10,000 each fate, roughly. And basically, I sort of knocked it out to 50, and then I was up to like 1:30 in the morning, so like just playing this game, trying to get all the get my level up, do the Black Mage stuff, and today I have been pretty much going over my crafting stuff, which I say, doing my crafting, I'm, you know, I want to get the ring for each crafting job. It's basically, once you've made, I think it's one of everything on your crafting list for each class, you get a ring for each one. So basically, you know, I'm trying to do it my goldsmithing now. I'm selling a lot of stuff, not as quick as I'd like. But yeah, I'm trying to do really as well as I can. But I am having fun with this game. I mean, I'm not paying too much attention to the story, because fuck it, I can read all Wikipedia's that source. Because that shit's not really interesting to me. It's sort of just going through it and just doing what I'm doing. I'm more interested in the fighting, to be honest, than the actual story. Because to be honest, the story's kind of shit. I'm close to sort of completing the main story before the updates happened. I think today I had to get... I mean, because I've seen everyone running around in this sort of mechanical armor. I think I'm very close to getting that, so I must be near the end of basically where the story ends on the game before we had all the updates of 2.1, 2.2, so off until 2.5, which is when the whole part of the main story ends. So once I've done that. The whole thing of playing this game, I'm more interested in the crafting and building stuff and making stuff than the actual main story. But I mean, I like the fighting as well. And my main preference now is to basically make as much of the stuff as I can, try and make as much money. I want all the high quality gear, armor, clothing for my characters. I mean, there's all these tombstones and seals and shit that I need to get for my main character to get better and better gear, better and better weapons. I mean, I'm so close to sort of unlocking the quest that gets me my relic weapon, which is what can be upgraded, and I've got to do dungeons after fate, and a whole bunch of shit just to get basically all the points that I need for that, which I'm not too fussed about at the moment. I'd rather just focus on my crafting so I can make money and sell stuff and, you know, as you do. But yeah, I was literally on the tip of my tongue, completely forgot. Doing a bunch of fates, check my notes. Doing some fates, crafting stuff. I was just trying to think, what else have I done on Final Fantasy? Pretty much it, really. I mean, there's other stuff to do which I haven't really bothered in. Just enjoying the game, really. Just enjoying the world. That's it, really. I think that's pretty much it for Final Fantasy. As I've been away, I have played loads of different stuff. I mean, I was literally sat on a plane for like 9 hours each way, and I sort of, you know, did some more on some Super Mario 3D Land. Had a bit of fun with that. Got as pretty much far as I think I can get with it. Star Fox, played a bit of that. Mario Kart, did some of that. I'd say there's just stuff that I've played and had fun with, and, you know, pretty much just gone as far as I can. So I've sort of chucked them up on Amazon the other day, and I've sold those games. So I'm looking for something else to play. But I say Ramcat, he let me play his 3DS when we was out in America, and I played Shovel Knight, which is really fun, which I will be picking up. I'm not too sure yet. I'm probably picking it up on my 3DS, but I might pick it up on my PlayStation 4. I don't know. I'm in the R-ing at the moment. Whichever one's cheaper, I will pick it up on. But yeah, Shovel Knight, very fun game, sort of classic 2D style art style. Just had a bit of fun with it, really. It sort of plays like DuckTales, the whole, you know, Scrooge McDuck would jump on his pogo stick. Do a pogo jump on his walking stick, whereas Shovel Knight, he does that on the shovel. And there's so much stuff to do, and it's quite fun. I didn't play too much, but because I think we were watching something. But yeah, really, really fun. Other stuff I played, I'm saying me and Rankat, we went played some, because he's got Mortal Kombat X on his PlayStation 4. So me and him, we had a little fisticuffs on that. Basically, he won a load of matches, I won a load of matches. And we basically just went through every like character and had tons of fun with it. Yeah, really, really great game. It's Mortal Kombat, isn't it, really? Me and his good lady, Buttercup Sunset, we played Mario Kart 8 together. That was a ton of fun. I was getting my ass handed to me because I'm like trying to look at the small screen because it went split screen and I could barely see what was going on. But yeah, I had tons of fun. It's Mario Kart. It's not about the winning. It's about getting the blue shell and basically using it to your advantage. But yeah, it was a really, really fun game. Unfortunately, Matty, nothing like that happened, which I was glad about, to be honest. I was worried that some of the parties would turn into those, but luckily enough, they didn't. Some stuff I can't talk about, but some stuff I can, sort of. Stuff I'd rather not talk about. Because it creeps the shit out of me. We ran Royce's house as well, played Mario Kart there. Did okay, actually. I think, you know, because basically Ramcat and Buttercup are much better at Mario Kart than anyone else in that room. So basically, it's why they're beating the shit out of me. And I did okay against Royce and Dutch and basically other people who haven't played that. Matty, no, it didn't turn into that. I'm so fucking glad it didn't. I was worried. We was at one of the parties, and I was worried after parties. I was like, please don't turn into that. Please don't turn into that. Because the last thing I want to see is basically what you're describing, which I can't talk about, happening with some people that I know from this other station. And yeah, it didn't turn into that, and I'm glad. Otherwise, I would have needed to poke my eyes out. Other stuff I played, Mario Kart, so much more fun on a Shit. On an Xbox. No, fuck off. What the hell is it? Wii U. There we go. I'm trying to confuse my consoles now. No, so much better on a Wii U. More detail and everything to it. Mario Kart 7 is great, but it's like very few characters, and it doesn't. I mean, to be honest, the characters don't really matter. Even the items that you get doesn't really matter either. To upgrades and stuff, which are okay, but you just don't get them fast enough. There's no incentive to keep playing Mario Kart 7, whereas Mario Kart 8, there's more tracks. Everything looks better. It's more fun. You know, it's just a better game overall. But yeah, other stuff I did play. We played Mario Party, which was great. I think it's Mario Party 10. Fuck knows how many of these Mario Party games they've made. But yeah, really, really good. And, you know, I mean, I couldn't have it because I don't know enough people around me to play it. But yeah, Mario Party, really fun game. Me and Sean were sort of playing with a bunch of others and having tons of fun. It was a really, really good game. Yeah, I say that's pretty much what I've been playing, really. I mean, there's stuff sitting on my shelf. I have to play my own copy of Mortal Kombat 10 because Mortal Kombat X, because I've got to finish that game hopefully soon, and I've still got the crew up there as well. I'm selling a whole bunch of my games that I'm not playing, like Grand Theft Auto and Destiny, because they're just sitting there doing nothing. But yeah, I say. You know, I'm having fun with what I'm playing. Final Fantasy has taken over my life. I mean, next month we get the new Batman Arkham Knight. We got a trailer for that. Came out the other day. The game looks pretty sweet and awesome. But yeah, I say there's not much to play. I mean, other stuff that I want to pick up, Battlefield Hardline. Meh. I don't know. I think it's probably too late for me now to start playing that again. Picking it up to play. Since it's been out for a while, you know, about a month now, I think. 2 months? Was it March? Yeah, shit. Time's flying. But yeah, I say I'm not too fussed about the lack of what I'm playing, because I'm enjoying what I am playing, and basically what I am playing is taking up my whole life. I'm still, you know, sitting on the fence about... I mean, I do want to get an iPad, probably an iPad mini, I'm thinking, but... There's stuff happening at me at the moment, which basically my money is going in certain directions, and it's basically leaving me without, you know, not I'm not skint or anything. It's just, you know, I'd rather put my money into other things than other things, basically. It's hard to explain. But yeah, I say, I downloaded, was it Never Alone, I think, for my, it was a free on the PlayStation Store. I downloaded that yesterday. And I think I'll be playing that soon, so that'd be, you know, fun and entertaining. But yeah, I say not much to basically that makes me want to play it. I mean, I've still got a whole bunch of games on my PlayStation Store, you know, that I've downloaded or I've got from free. But yeah, I say, you know, Final Fantasy. I'm just sort of looking at my shelf with all the games that I have on it, and nothing that much up there. So it's very slow at the moment. I mean, we're waiting for the big games. I mean, I'm looking forward to getting. Batman, I mean, Assassin's Creed, hopefully that's good at the end of the year. just a whole menagerie of stuff, really. But yeah, I say it's pretty much all I've been playing, I think. I'm trying to think of anything else on the 3DS I've been playing. No, really. I mean, I know I've got Pokemon Nationals at the end of this month, which I need to get ready for, which basically means put items onto the Pokemon that I want to use. I know my 3DS is fully charged. I'll have to recharge it before I go, just to be on the safe side. But yeah, I say that's the next big event that I've got to look forward to, even though I'm not too fussed. I mean, I'm just going to turn up and say, yep, such and such, whatever, you know, and then just play. But I'm mostly just there to hang out with my friends and pretty much do anything else, to be honest. But yeah, I say, you know, Pokemon Nationals, it's something fun, something cool to look forward to, I guess. You know, I mean, I'm not that fussed. I'm more looking forward to the actual journey and trip itself than actually why I'm there. I mean, I'll be so fucking pissed off if I've got to be stuck around there for another 4 or 5 hours waiting for them to get their shit together. I mean, to be honest, I've got nowhere else to go when I'm in Manchester, so I'll probably just sort of, you know, hang around there and do fuck all for all day. I mean, I'm planning to get there sort of early-ish on Friday, have a little wander around the Trafford Centre, check into the hotel, do that sort of stuff, and then... You know, Saturday we have the old tournament. Do as well as I can. I mean, I'm not overly fussed about if I do well or good. Good or bad, because basically, I've sort of lost my interest. If I can find someone to buy my copy of Pokemon for a decent chunk of change, I'll be happy because of the thousands of hours I've spent putting into this game. But yeah, it pretty much sort of caps up my Pokemon retirement, really. You know, nothing else to play, so might as well give it a break. But yeah, I will go into now the basically my adventures in Florida, really, because we had the live event last, not this weekend just gone, but the one before. But yeah, I basically, you know, I've been ecstatic for this trip for months, as everyone knows, and basically is sick of the back teeth of me talking about. But yeah, I say, you know, a nice, easy, it's weird, I've never actually done the whole trip by myself, because normally I've got like rides to the airport from my dad or something like that. But yeah, I literally sort of, you know, packed my suitcase up, and we put my little travel bag on my back, and just walked out of my house, down to the train station, and then literally three or four trains across London to the airport, and then basically got myself in. And it's weird, it's probably the most travelling I've done by myself ever. I mean, you know, I've booked holidays before on my own, and it's not been a problem, but it's literally just sort of, you know, getting myself, carrying my suitcase from here across London to the airport, checking it in, and then just sort of, you know, most, what the hell's the word? I can't think of the fucking word. I was going to say antisocial. It's not. It's most, you know, most I've done by myself. There's a word for it. I can't think of it. But yeah, I say, got to the airport. Slight delay at the check-in because the computers went down. I'm like, fuck. Even though, lucky enough, I did get like 3 hours before the plane was supposed to take off, so that wasn't a problem. But yeah, I say, check my bag in. Not a problem. I say, if this does bore some people, I do have slides. No, but I say, got to the airport, not a problem. Yeah, I say, it's weird. I mean, the flight was like 8 hours, roughly. It was like 7.5, 8 hours. And it went by really, really quick. And it's like 8 hour flight. It's pretty much a sort of 8 hour shift at work for me, to be honest. And I watched like a whole bunch of movies and TV and stuff. It was great. I sort of maximized the time and tried to sort of get into my head that when I'd be landing, I was trying to sort of set my own internal clock to change it, basically, because it would be like 10 o'clock at night my time when I landed, but it's actually like 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So I basically sort of trying to sort my brain out, trying to get that in sync, and that was literally out of whack for a couple of days. I was just so tired. But yeah, I was on the plane, watched like, I think, like 3 or 4 movies and some, there's that Star Wars Rebels on the kids' channel, so I watched that. Basically just stuff to pass the time, really. And it worked really, really well, especially coming back as well. But yeah, I got to the flight, got to the airport, and it was like a delay at getting there, because it was like, have you got this, go to this, use this machine, try and find that. I mean, when I got to the airport, trying to pick up my suitcases, so okay, your luggage is going to be on this baggage carousel here, because it said so on the sign. So I'm like, okay, that's fine. I was like there for 10, 15 minutes. Everything's going around. No sign of my fucking bag. And then it was like, okay, over the tannoy, it was like, okay, such and such bags can be found on this one. I was like, fuck. Oh, yeah, there it is. There's my bag. Lovely. I always worry about, I mean, I think some comedian did a bit about this. It's like, okay, you're trying to find your bag. You forget what your bag looks like, even though you haven't seen it for like a couple of hours. You still, you know, which is why I sort of signpost mine up. But yeah, it's like, you know, pick that up. Headed out the door, checked all, you know, passport control and this sort of stuff. But yeah, Sherry was there, you know, from Dutch and Royce. She sort of met me because it was literally, I was taking my sweet time, basically, trying to get out of customs and stuff. But yeah, she was there because her and Mitch were giving me a lift to Royce and Marie's, which is great of them. Thank you very much. And basically, yeah, we went down to Royce and Marie's and just played loads of computer games for the rest of the day and had pizza. It was great. And that night we all had a drink and I went for a swim to loosen me up. I'd say because literally I was very, very tired. I mean, for the first couple of days, I was just exhausted. I mean, I know listening to Royce on Hippo Juice and Dr. Royce and sort of complaining about me sleeping at parties, it's like, well, I've got fucking jet lag. What do you expect? Trying to do the, you know, the time change and then basically how late the flight was and when it got in. You know, I was knocked out for a good couple of days, and basically those were the days where we had the BBB show and the you know, the live event. But yeah, I say, yeah, Thursday, you know, is great. It was great to be there. I say the things about traveling to America, because it does pretty much feel like my second home, because I've been there 5 times in the past 6 years now, I think. Yeah, it's just pretty much just like going back home, to be honest, because most of my friends are there. And, you know, everyone's there, really. But, yeah, I say, you know, Friday, I was crashing over at Dean Shawn's and, you know, just sort of nice to relax and get away. I say, that's why I love travelling, because you just get away from the stuff you're used to. I mean, even though for the, you know, Pokemon event, I'm only going to Manchester, which is, you know, 300 or 400 miles up and down the country. It's just away from London, away from the norm, away from the city, well, to another city anyway, but just away from pretty much everything. And that's what I'm looking forward to. But yeah, I say, you know, Friday, what did we do on Friday? Just looking at my notes here, yeah. Oh, yeah, I say, going to all America, you know, every time we go to America, it's always complete stuff off my checklist. Went to Checkers, got some food there. It was very nice. It's amazing, right? I just sort of, you know, classic burgers and chips. And, you know, it's weird. I don't normally eat burgers and chips and stuff over here because I have, you know, I've lost weight, which everyone noticed. I think Sherry was squeezing my arms a couple of times. But, yeah, I just had a lot of fun, you know, sort of having people tell me how well I looked. And, I don't have a weighing scales here, so I have no idea. And I checked on Royce and Marie's place. I lost about 3 stone, which is like 40-something pounds, 45 pounds. I'm like, that's pretty good. Everyone was remarking on how well I looked, and, you know, different from last time. No fat stomach, no fat neck. And apart from the fact that today all I've eaten is ice cream and baby bells and chocolate. But I am keeping up my exercising of walking to and from work and, you know, doing all that to keep myself nice and slim, which hopefully will start soon. As soon as I can be asked to stop eating junk food again. But yeah, I say, you know, I didn't really eat much when I was out in America, even though, you know, most of what I did was sort of junk food. But it was good stuff, actually, really good stuff. But yeah, I say, you know, Friday, had some food, did some bits and pieces with Dee. We went to the BBB, the Big Bang Boom Cabaret, which was fucking awesome. It was a really, really good... I say, I'd never been to a burlesque show before, but this one was awesome and amazing. Johnny Sparks, first guy, fucking awesome guy, really funny with his act. Because it was basically, the whole BBB thing was, for this one, was like movie Oscars and stuff like that. Oh, yeah, shit. Because I'm an annoying bastard, and I go on and on and on and on about things, which basically makes me great for promoting stuff. Basically, anything that Ramcat or Buttercup have been, you know, promoting, whatever, I've been, you know, liking, retweeting, that sort of stuff, trying to help out as much I can. Big open arm hug from them when I got in, because literally, the venue, tiny little place, great place, well set out and everything. Basically, I'm sort of walking through the door towards the seating area, and I see Buttercup there. She spots me, sort of gives me a big hug her back. Basically, you know, say, have a good show and all that sort of stuff. So I go to sit down with basically everyone. I mean, pretty much everyone from All That Radio was there who turned up in Florida, apart from Joe and Dan. They decided to go off and do some filming for their documentary or whatever. But yeah, I sit sitting down there, and there's like a sort of Ramcat dressed up as basically an Oscar statue, and a big, great big gold one piece with his face all painted gold. And then he spots me and then comes over and gives me a hug. But yeah, he basically shouted me out a couple of times, like good praise I'm talking about, nothing bad or anything, for, you know, flying across the world. And I got a round of applause and a whole bunch of claps and stuff. But yeah, it's like, you know, couldn't be a nicest guy in the world, he is. But yeah, I say BBB show really good, and saw a whole bunch of people I've seen on Twitter, I follow on Twitter. You know, Frankie Markstone and Ivy Liz Vixens, and yeah, just really awesome people who were, you know, really nice people. But yeah, so it was a really good show, and, you know, gave a lot of tips, and, you know, just really, really good and entertaining. I mean, I was trying to look up some sort of burlesque stuff over in London. But the fucking prices they're asking, I'm like, yeah, fuck it. I'll save my money for when I go to Florida. Because, yeah, that prices of tickets, like food and dinner, you know, dinner and a show, I'm like, yeah, not interested in dinner, just give me the show. But, yeah, saying, you know, I guess the money's all going to some good cause, but it's just not really worth it. But the BBB show was really, really cool. And then we all headed back to sort of Royce and Marie's for a sort of semi-after party. I think I'm trying to think. Was that the one where Joe got his? I think both times Joe got his cock out. But it's Joe, and he does that, unfortunately. But yeah, it was a great event, great night. I was so tired because, you know, jet lagged, and he got in the night before the day before. Most of the time, I think there must have been like two or three days where I'd been awake for like 24 hours. Yeah, it just killed me. Like the first couple of times of trying to, you know, sort of sitting around. I mean, Royce was like, yeah, there's naked women outside. Why don't you go and have a look? And it's like, yeah, I'm good. I can see naked women. And it's like, yeah, it's my friends sit naked. And I'm like, yep, I like my friends very much. They're the greatest people in the world, but they're not the people I want to see naked. It's one of those things. It's like, yeah. Any other person, yes, but because they are so close, friendship, that sort of stuff, I don't really want to see their tits, even though they were very nice. But I don't know, it's just the way I am when it comes to personalities and people. It's, you know, even though it's nice seeing a pair of tits, it's like, yeah, they're my friend's tits, and yeah, it's sort of not ruins who they are, but it makes it awkward and tricky. But yeah, great after party for the BBB show, hang out with with Ramcat and Buttercup. Yeah, really good. And we were sort of talking about how looking forward we were for the live events, which was basically the next day. Yeah, but it's a lot of days basically just sort of sleeping late, which was nice to get away from. Shows how pretty much stressed I am at work over here and just sort of being here. I just literally just slept for hours and hours and just sort of rested and relaxed. And basically just did nothing. I say it's the best thing about the holiday, because it wasn't like a touristy thing, even though I went to like Universal on my last day. It was pretty much sort of just sort of hanging around, doing nothing, just relaxing, sitting down, watching TV, watching the world go by, and I had fun doing it. But yeah, I say we had the live events, which was okay, sort of. But yeah, I say, you know, in the day, went and picked up Mersh before the show, which was great because I hadn't seen him in a couple of years because he didn't come to the last one because he had legal stuff. But yeah, good to see him. I had some chat and a laugh. But yeah, I say it all went smoothly, you know, for what it was for the live event. We raised some money. Yeah, I mean, there was a downside. I mean, we did the intermission for the show. I mean, so the Moxie people, great, very entertaining. I mean, I'm flying back to Florida next year to see the show because, you know, yeah, I want to see, you know, more of this stuff and more of the people and more of the friends that I've made. So I basically try and fly back as often as I can or allowed to. Whether that's people letting me come over or how much my money in the bank says I'm allowed to come over as well. But yeah, I say the Moxie people did their bit the first hour and then we had like an intermission. We came back and most of the people in the audience had fucked off. I mean, there was great people there. Matt was there, who was Stuart on the Hooter and Greenway show. He was there, great to see him. And Daniel, he came over to see me, which was pretty sweet. And we literally sat at a table talking for, I think, half an hour, 40 minutes about Final Fantasy, which was sweet because I don't have anyone else to talk to about this sort of stuff. there's a few people, you know, and obviously you lot, the listeners. But yeah, he came down, which was great. So we were basically sitting in a bite and talking and drinking, and took some pictures. You know, lots of pictures were taken. I didn't take many pictures of the whole trip myself, because basically everyone was taking pictures of me. So it's fine. I was in other people's pictures, some not meaning to be, and some making awkward poses and faces. But yeah, the live event went pretty well until the intermission, and then most of the people who were there fucked off. I mean, because Mersh was first up to do his bit of stand-up, but he sort of gave up because what's the point of doing stand-up to about 5-6 people? But there was a lot of people there, but most of them were the people who are from Moxie and the people from More Like Radio, and then like the 4 or 5 people who were basically there to see the event. But yeah, I mean, it went really well. Mersh was funny, as he usually is. He did some jokes, you know, as he's supposed to. But yeah, it was really, really entertaining. And then Dan got up and did his bit, which was fucking hilarious. He killed it. But yeah, I say after that, we had John do his stand-up spank down, which was painful at watch. It wasn't painful to watch. It was funny to watch. But the noises from him getting smacked. Because Gus, the guy who owned the bar, he called it a restaurant. And I was like, yeah, I've been to a lot of restaurants. I used to work in restaurants. That's a bar, mate. I know it's like trying to make himself feel better about his establishment, but yeah, it's a bar. I should have got food because I've heard the food's really good there. But yeah, I say, John, literally, Gus came out with a 2x4, an actual, you know, plank of wood. And then basically John's lady friend and Buttercup started hitting him whenever he told shitty jokes. And as you'd imagine, I mean, I know the audio's been put together now and there's video being mixed with it. So basically it'll be up to watch on YouTube very soon. Yeah, he got the shit beat out of him. And I felt so sorry for John. I gave him a hug once he'd finished. But yeah, it was like red marks on his arse. And it was so painful and awkward. I mean, literally, it was, I think, several times where it hit bone. And he's sort of writhing in pain about what was going on. And, you know, he was... it was just so painful to watch, even though it was very funny. But... yeah, it was really, really good event. I mean, even though, you know, most of the audience fucked off after the first hour, I had a good time. I saw a bunch of people that I've, you know, talked to on Facebook and Twitter. It was nice to meet them in person. I mean, I got a whole bunch of fucking friend requests from people. I sent out some myself. And yeah, I just had a really good time. And, you know, that was pretty much it for the live event. It was good. It was, you know, we raised a bunch of money. Not as money as I would, much as money as I would have liked. But yeah, we did well. We did well for what we did. But yeah, I say nothing much to talk about. They say live event. I say we third year in a row. It's pretty much open and shut. It's literally we do our bits, and you know, Hammy was in charge of all the audio stuff, and he did a great job. Royce and Joe were on the mics talking, and they interviewed everyone, which was great. Yeah, it's basically, you know, I did less than I normally do. I mean, last year I know I was helping out, trying to set up equipment, do bits and pieces like that. But yeah, I say it was just sort of pretty much all taken care of. Hammy was in charge of everything. He knew where everything went, all what needed to be done. I mean, because I sort of went with D to pick up merch, I guess everyone was doing all the equipment checks and the stuff like that. So, you know, my job was pretty much taken care of by everyone else. But yeah, I say, well, the event went smooth. It didn't, you know, it didn't raise as much money as I'd like. Even the amount of people who turned up, it would have been better if we had more people. That way we could have raised more money. And it would have been better if all the audience had fucked off after the first hour, which was a bit of a bastard. But yeah, it's just, you know, I'm guessing, I don't know. They came for the Moxie stuff, but didn't bother to stay for our stuff. Even though our stuff was pretty good. But yeah, there was an after party, went back to a friend of a friend's house and just had drinks and food and stuff. It was great, you know, really, really good time. I was exhausted. I think that was the second, yeah, because I think like second time in like 24 hours that I'd slept, because I think I woke up, was it like 9 o'clock in the morning, and then went to bed at like 4. And even when I play computer games, like last night, I'm off work today. Last night, I didn't go to bed till like 1:30 because I was, you know, doing my, you know, my black mage stuff, trying to get my crafting jobs, all that sort of stuff taken care of. Even though I still went to bed like 1:30 in the morning, I was like, I'm never up till like 3 or 4 ever, basically. And doing that so many times while I was away, it just completely knocked me out. But yeah, what else should I say? Because I say my Florida, there's nothing really too much to talk about my Florida adventures. What else did we do? Yeah, it's like a lot of food was eaten. I mean, we went to this, you know, place called the Yard House before the, I think it was before the BBB show or the I can't remember, but we one of them, and there was some great food there. Pointing and laughing at hipsters. There was some guy who was literally sitting on a chair, cross-legged. And it looked so fucking awkward the way he was doing it. It was just a right laugh. You know, half the people on the table, our side of the table, were sort of making fun of him. And other places we went to, God, what the fuck? I can't even remember what their place was called. We went there for like brunch and lunch and a couple of days. Had some good food there. So there was Ultimate Cheese Sandwich, I think it was. Toasted cheese, which, I don't know, I couldn't find the cheese, but everything else was quite nice in it. Just trying to think, what else? Yeah, I mean, I sort of did my finishing off of, you know, places that I'd never been to, but I know of. I mean, you know, I went to a Walmart, went to Publix. I mean, it was all fucking trivial shit, this, but yeah, it's, you know, places that I heard about and actually visited now, I can sort of cross off my checklists. You know, had food at Steak and Shake, which was great, actually, really, really good food. Classic sort of diner, American diner place, as you know, American listeners know, well, yeah, it's Steak and Shake, you know, whatever. But to me, it's like, you know, wow, never been here before, but I know all the place. I went to Cracker Barrel on my last day. That was quite fun. I've never been there before and had some good food, had biscuits and gravy and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, so something else to cross off my something I've eaten list and places that I've eaten at. But yeah, I say, you know, it's trivial to other people, but it's important to me because it's like, you know, places that I've never been to, but I want to eat at, just to say I've eaten here, or, you know. But yeah, I say not much. I didn't do much. I mean, the next couple of days were pretty much sort of sit around, do nothing all day. We went, so my last day, we went to Universal. That was great. I'd never been there before. I say it wasn't a very touristy holiday. I mean, even the gifts I brought back, I got my mate a shirt and the family a bunch of fridge magnets and my sister a key ring, sort of, you know, touristy gift, but nothing else to really get. I mean, it's the thing. It's literally, I mean, it is one of those things. It is very tacky and touristy gift because the fact that it's got, you know, made in Bangladesh written on a T-shirt or made in Taiwan written on a fridge magnet. It's like, you know, what do you expect? I mean, I'm literally sort of flashing back to history in secondary school. It's like, yeah, Victorian era. It's like, yeah, all these gifts that we got from India, like this you know, metal tin or tea tray. Yeah, it's made in England. It's like, well, it's just one of the things. You go away to a different country and you bring back gifts that are made from another country. It's just, it's basically not what it was supposed to be. But yeah, I say it wasn't a really touristy trip that I went on. It was basically just a relaxation. I mean, it's, you know, sort of when I went to Thailand, it's like, yeah, just go there, relax, rest up, and basically just enjoy myself. And that's what I did. I just literally, you know, I think I come back with a cold, which is why I'm still coughing and sneezing all over the place. But yeah, when I was there, I did get Buttercup gave me one of her shirts. So I've got this dark pink shirt that says Buttercup Sunset, which is pretty sweet. Yeah, I just, you know, everyone was happy to see me. I mean, I got to see John, you know, from Hippo Juice, which is awesome. I've been waiting years to see him. I was hanging out with Sean and Dee, which is always awesome. And yeah, I was just hanging out with all my friends, and it's just really, really good. And I made loads of new friends, which I'm looking forward to going and seeing again next year. And they all want to see me. excuse me. They all want to see me again for some weird reason. But yeah, I say, you know, everyone loved my accent, and all the people I knew I'd seen before, they were sort of happy to sort of see that I'd lost weight. And, you know, Hammy's lost weight as well. I mean, he's still a fat guy, but he's not as fat as he used to be. But yeah, I say, I just had a really good time out there, just sort of relaxing and just, you know, enjoying being away from England and work and stuff. You know, as you do when you're on holiday, it's just sort of, you know, you relax and get away from it all. And that's what I did. But yeah, I say, you know, it was fun. I say, not much to talk about because nothing much happened. I mean, there was a couple of parties and after party stuff, which, I mean, I think Royce and Marie and Dutch and that talked about on their shows. So basically, go and have a listen to them from last week, and they'll basically fill you in all the details. But yeah, apart from that, pretty good trip, and I'm looking forward to going back again next year, basically, as soon as I book up a flight and sort myself out. Yeah, pretty much it for that, really. Let's get into some new stuff, because I have so much to tell you, because there's so much. Literally, a whole bunch of shit happened while I was away with, you know, I'll save this bit until after the break. But yeah, there was with the Konami cancelling Silent Hills. I've got a whole bunch of stuff on that. But let's go into some bits and pieces before I go, because I've got a few minutes until the break, and then I want to do bits, you know, more stuff. So I'll stop rambling and I'll get on with the fucking talking. all right, this is from Eurogamer. EA is hoping to make a Need for Speed movie sequel. For some reason, I have no idea. I mean, my friend said that the movie was okay, but yeah. The Need for Speed movie could be getting a sequel if EA has its way. As reported by Variety, EA has joined forces with a trio of Chinese production companies who worked with Paramount on Transformers Age of Extinction. More specifically, these companies are China Movie Channel Program Center. Wow. One sec. Gyaflix, Enterprises, and 1905 Pictures. However, production on the film cannot proceed until the rights to a sequel are negotiated with DreamWorks, who produced the first film. These negotiations have yet to begin. The Need for Speed... The Need for Speed movie was generally poorly received by critics. No shit. Such as our own... Or such as who gives a shit from one of the Eurogamer reviewers. But it managed to rake in a fair bit of cash. Budgeted around $66 million. The Aaron Paul starring vehicle went on to gross $203 million. Apparently, $605 million of that came from China alone. No one of the Chinese production companies eager to get rights to the sequel. Yeah, and basically, because it starred Aaron Paul, you know, people are going to see it because they love Breaking Bad. But, you know, it made, what, triple the budget, so I guess that's good. The video game series has grossed more than $4 billion in retail sales, over the past 20 years. Last year was the first time since 2001 that there wasn't a Need for Speed game, but this year we'll see the series return. Quality over quantity and all that, which most will reckon is a good thing, seeing how 2013's Need for Speed Rivals was one of the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One's best launch titles, and they returned to form to the series. Well, that's not really saying much. The best game on a launch title, it's a launch title. Most of the games that we do get for launch games are usually shit and forgotten about quite soon, because we do get the second string of games to come out. Variety noted that if negotiations all work out, production could start the new film as early as the end of this year. Clearly, EA is trying to get in on this Fast and the Furious craze that everyone's all up on and all up on's right about now. Yeah, you don't really want to see the, Need for Speed. Nobody wants a fucking Need for Speed movie. And to be honest, if you're going to try and fucking Fast and Furious it, where just sequel after sequel after sequel, yeah, you're going to really, hammer that shit into the ground. And to be honest, the only reason people saw this recent, Fast and Furious movie is because Paul Walker died. And that's pretty much the only reason people went to see it. All right, let's move on to the next bit of news. Here we go. Yeah, Ubisoft developing new project set in the Child of Light universe. We haven't seen the last of Ubisoft's Child of Light. The game's creative director has teased. Instead of confirming a direct sequel, creative director Patrick Pioudou has hinted at more projects, plural, set in the same universe. Writing on Twitter, he confirmed that players will return to the world of Lemuria in the future, although neglected going into detail. Now, I really should have got into this Child of Light game. I mean, I know I still can, but yeah, I need something to play, so maybe Child of Light is the way to go, but I don't know. I'll wait and see. But yeah, say more stuff in that world. That's awesome, I guess. Right, what have we got next? Let's have a look. Here we go. Yes. Monster Hunter 4 gets Metroid, Mega Man, and Street Fighter costumes. Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate gets 3 DLC every month, and publisher Capcom has just detailed its May editions. Available now, you can embark on 14 new quests and snag such goods as Metroid armor, Mega Man and Street Fighter costumes for your feline companions, and a taiko drum themed hunting horn. Here's the full list of what the May DLC adds. For the hunter equipment, you have the Metroid's various suits, Metroid Zero suit, Metroid's arm cannon, and the Taiko drum master hunting horn. USJ's Star Rook armor. USJ's Starlight axe charge beam. The Pelico equipment, you have Mega Man, Blanka, Chung Li. USJ's F-Star, Char-Char, and Kayamba. I'm not too sure what the last couple are. I've never really played a Metroid game, and Mega Man's not my favourite thing. But, so full rundown, you've got 40 new quests, 5 new weapons, 3 complete armour sets, 6 Pelico weapons, 6 Pelico armour sets, 1 being a bonus Pelico, yellow pal, 3 guild card backgrounds, 2 guild card poses, 15 guild card titles, 1 Poogie outfit, kitchen pig, and new items sold by Wycon. Oh, yeah, here we go. Amusingly, Capcom teased its upcoming June DLC with a Devil May Cry Pellico costume at the end of the trailer. That's pretty cool, actually. I mean, just sort of looking at the picture now. It does look pretty sweet. Oh, one sec. Let's find more stuff to talk about. There we go. Yeah, here we go. This is interesting. The Last of Us DLC Left Behind, it goes standalone. I'm sort of wondering about this, actually. Yeah, Sony will soon sell The Last of Us downloadable add-on Left Behind as a standalone product. The single-player DLC will be available to download from the PlayStation from the PlayStation Store on both PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4 from the 12th of May, so basically next week, for just under £8, so £7.99, and basically €9.99, and I imagine dollars as well. It says you won't need the main game to play it, which is great because I wouldn't mind playing that. But you know, so it's so cheap, I'm going to be cheap myself and probably wait till it goes on sale and then pick it up that way, because it is just DLC, and that price for DLC, when I could probably get the game for double that with the actual DLC as well, possibly. It says, if you haven't had a chance yet to check out The Last of Us, this is a nicely priced getaway to check in out the world and characters so many people and critics loved. Oh, sorry. Naughty Dog community chief, what the hell is that his name? Arnie Mayer, Jesus Christ, can you spell it any worse? Wrote on a post in on a PlayStation blog. It says, while part of the story of Left Behind takes place during the main narrative arc of The Last of Us, I think some of the best most touching moments of any game in recent memory occur during the prequel segments, as we follow Ellie and Riley as they sneak out of a boarding school to visit an abandoned mall, getting one final chance to enjoy their friendship before Riley leaves to join the Fireflies. And yeah, I've heard that about the DLC, because everyone's been telling me I should play it. Yeah, I've heard that it does have a lot of very touching moments, and when it goes up and goes on sale, I'll, put my hand in my pocket and play it. But not before then. Meanwhile, also included is a true 2-hour trial of the factions multiplayer mode. The Left Behind standalone mode has built-in upgrade paths through the in-game store to both the full faction experience and or full game for The Last of Us. Here are the PlayStation details. Okay, we'll scroll down. It would help. There we go. Yep. Full faction multiplayer is going to be just under £8. Full digital single player game with treacherous territories map pack is if you already own the full faction multiplayer, is going to cost about £19, about €24. And the full digital single player game faction multiplayer mode and basically the map pack bundle is going to be just under £30, which is about €35. And that's all for the PlayStation 4. For the PlayStation 3, you have the faction multiplayer, which is basically $7.99. And basically, how is that? Why is that the same? This is weird, because I'm just looking at the thing. It's same. The full faction multiplayer stuff is the exact same for PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4. But the full digital single player with the Treacherous Territories map pack is going to be $11.99. Still quite expensive though for a PlayStation 3 when but yeah, so the full digital single player with everything is basically $19.99. So if you have a PlayStation 3, expect to buy it on the PlayStation 3 because you'll save a lot of money in the long run. But yeah, I want to play this when it goes out and goes on sale, but not before then, I think. All right, let's find some more stuff because literally I am so close to the break, and I need to have a break. Oh, here we go, yeah. What is it? Yeah, it's Dead Island 2 delayed to 2016 because everyone was looking forward to Dead Island. Dead Island 2 will now be released in 2016, developer Jaeger has announced. The follow-up to Techland's zombie shooter and its sequel, Dead Island Riptide, which was originally set to arrive this spring for PC, PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Announced at E3 last year, the game sees a survival experience move to mainland USA, rather than an actual island. But Jaeger will need more time to complete the project, developer explained in a new announcement post on Twitter. Basically says, we have always set ourselves a big goal for Dead Island 2, to create the sequel that Dead Island create a sequel that takes Dead Island to the next level. A game that takes what our fans tell us they love about Dead Island, basic multiple different characters to play with, co-op, turning a paradise setting into a zombie slaughter melee, as a game that adds tons more content and combat options on top of that. So we wanted to have that all that done for spring 2015. We have been looking at the game long and hard. We have decided we didn't reach that goal and set out to achieve. Which we didn't reach the goal we set out to achieve yet. This is why we decided to play. So we decided to delay Dead Island 2 to 2016. So basically, it's not ready yet. They need more time. I mean, I'm not fussed, to be honest. I mean, I like Dead Island. It was great. I love what Techland did. But we're getting Dying Light, which is basically Dead Island 2 anyway. So, meh. But I'll carry on reading. There's a bit more to this article. It says, right now we are focusing purely on development and we'll have more info to share at a later stage. Hopefully E3, you know, PAX, you know, some of the big conventions we've got coming up in the next couple of months, because, like, you know, start of May now, everything's starting to get in the summer swing. And, you know, we'll see. We said we know our fans will be disappointed by the news, but by giving Dead Island 2 more time, we are confident that everyone will get a better game to play as a result. But yeah, just the thing is, though, right? You've got Techland making Dying Light. And now these people are saying, okay, yep, it'll be out next year. What makes them think that the sales are going to be there for Dead Island 2? People have already played Dying Light, had fun with Dying Light. Do they really want another open world zombie game? Probably, because I mean, it's not set on an island anymore. It's set in basically the US. So I mean, there's a screenshot. There's a screenshot here. It's like set in Los Angeles. There's the Hollywood logos behind it. Yeah, I mean, there's so much fun you could have with that. That's enough to draw people in. I mean, it's the same. What I think about now, Just Cause 3. You know, that game's coming out. It's the same as what we've done before. It's probably on some tropical island with, you know, bits and pieces going on, explosions and, you know, parachutes and the zipline cord and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, people will still buy it. I'm still buying it because it's done like I've done before. So, you know, chances are people will buy this. I don't know. I'm up in the air. I'm like, yeah, will people buy this or will they not? I don't know. But I mean, when it comes out, people will put their money in their pocket for it. We'll see where it goes. I mean, I haven't seen too much into Dead Island, but I'll keep looking. But yeah, I say, you know, I do like Dead Island. I like the premise. I love the game. The first one was awesome. But the thing is, though, it's not done by Techland anymore. It's done by Jaeger Studios. So we'll wait and see what happens. Hopefully it'll be good. I'm hoping. I mean, there's a whole other year. So, and let's just say in 2016. So this time next year, 2016, or later in the year, I don't know. We'll basically have to wait and see. But yeah, we'll hold on for now, and we'll, you know, see in the future, I guess. I'm going to take a quick break because I need a drink, but I'll be back in about 40 minutes. I'll be back with more information, more news for you. I want to go into the Konami stuff, and I've got some Star Wars stuff to talk about, a whole bunch of other bits and pieces, and I have that announcement right at the end of the show. But until then, I will leave you with these messages.
And Ashley, you're from England, so we're not really sure what asshole number you would be. We just know it would be at least two extra numbers and one extra dash.
Yeah,
that's all we know
sign.
For sure. Yeah. It's a sort of country code.
Ladies and gentlemen, we invite you to have a go.
If you'd like to Skype in, it's Antisocial Gamer Radio. All one word.
More Like Radio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
Now I'm realizing that this is all going to be on fucking podcast. Oh boy!
I told you.
Yeah, I was trying to warn you the whole time,
dude. I don't care. I'm voluntarily Skyping into you. Use this to make a promo. I don't care. No, dude. Like I said, my fiance doesn't listen. Dutch got drunk one night. Well, he gets drunk every night, but he got drunk one night, and I used it as a promo. Why not? Use this into a promo. I give everyone permission to turn this audio into a promo. I don't care.
He also used Drunk Me for a promo, too, if you remember.
Yeah, AJ, you play it every week.
I do. Folks at home, Radio Gold like this happens every Sunday and Thursday at midnight on 360 on 420, only on morelikeradio.com.
The Elvis and Alfred Show, Thursdays, morelikeradio.com, 5 to 7. I'm Elvis Cage.
I'm Alfred.
I'm Jameson, and on the phone...
It's Bill. I'm phoning it in.
Oh, he's phoning it in. Coming to you live from the Halfpenny Pub in Sayville.
That's right. Punk rock music.
Independent music.
And all the rest of the things that we speak about.
Crazy party stuff.
Here on morelikeradio.com.
And elvisandalfred.com, 24-7.
Yarr!
The Elvis and Alfred Show.
Now deep beat, cause the V is so deep. An interesting show, it won't ever put you to sleep. It has all the content that you want, the best show on the planet. I ain't even gonna front. Deep beat, bringing it again and again. Don't ever miss a show and make sure that you're always tuned in. Hosted by my man Mike and Ski Ray. Keep it turned up on the mic all day. Ask me what's my favorite podcast, I say Deep Beat. Listen to the show while you're sipping on your tea. It's the hottest of the hot. You ain't gotta trust me. Tune into the show and you will definitely see. With Mike and Ski Ray, you can't go wrong. The biggest show ever, bigger than a King Kong. Listen up and don't ever, ever miss a beat. It's Deep V. Remember that the V is so deep.
What's up, everybody? Deep V Podcast.
Deep V.
Be sure to listen to us Fridays at 8 Eastern on morelikeradio.com.
Yep.
Also download us on iTunes.
Just type in Deep V.
Deep V, your favorite podcast. Favorite podcast.
If you're sick and tired of getting pro wrestling only after it's gone through the PG filter, then it's time you were introduced to Combat Zone Wrestling. Celebrating 15 years of ultra violence, Combat Zone Wrestling will give you all the high stakes, high flying, and hard hitting pro wrestling you can handle. Check out their live event schedule, get information on their next iPay-per-view, skim the roster, or shop for CZW merch right now at czwrestling.com. That's czwrestling.com. No dance segments, no endless talk of downloading apps, just wrestling. Combat Zone Wrestling, the ultra violent underground.
You know, at the start of the last episode, we went through different nationalities, you know, and now people know that we're Irish.
And now people know that we're all shite at accents as well.
But I was wondering, is it prejudice to not make fun of, like, all of the countries?
Where are you going for here?
We'll name check every country on the show, that way no one can be mad about that.
I could do Swedish.
Oh, yeah, what?
Birdie.
And to the Italians?
Papa da poopy.
Papa da poopy. Okay.
To the Mexicans?
Hey, man.
Spain? Singapore?
Oh.
Amazing.
Australians?
Crocodile Dundalk. No. A big loop, are you?
No, that sounds like terrible. Limerick or something.
That's right, we never slag off the Irish, do we? Someone put a bomb in me potato. There you go. OSW review. All Irish, all racist.
More like radio, less like crap.
Oh, hello there. I didn't see you come in. This is Mitch, producer of Dutch & Royce. I just wanted to take a quick moment to remind you why we are better than you.
I took the turkey baster and put it in the glass and sucked up as much pee as I could. I took the turkey baster, after lubricating it in my asshole, and put it up as far as I could in my asshole, and I was repeatedly thrusting it in and out while jacking off and screaming out a boy's name and moaning to make it feel like it was real.
I can't believe
this. I then imagined
Sean,
my
head,
I then imagined in my head him screaming, "I'm coming!" And I squeezed the turkey baster ball, shooting all my pee into my ass. I kept taking the turkey baster out and filling it with more pee and shooting it deep into my asshole, making it feel like it was a huge come.
Listen to Dutch & Royce live Tuesdays from 10 to midnight, only on morelikeradio.com.
What kind of store only has one thing on the shelf? T-Fury does. Now before you complain, listen to how it works. Each day a brand new t-shirt design becomes available for only 24 hours, then it's replaced by a new design the following day. They're all submitted by freelance artists too, so they're completely unique. They come in multiple colors and sizes, and they're all inspired by nerd and geek culture. And for only $11 per shirt, you can't go wrong. Check out today's limited edition design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRTs. Bookmark it and check back daily for new designs at tinyurl.com/MLRTEES.
If you weren't able to catch the last Hippo Juice show, here's what you probably missed.
I just keep thinking to myself, and it makes me giggle, that every time I hear the story, I imagine it was Ray Romano in the same situation.
Oh.
Oh, Deborah.
Kind of does.
I barely touched her. Come on. Oh. Oh, it was my brother. Look at him. He's bigger than me. Come on. Oh. Come on, everybody loves me. I got twins. Come on. Oh, let's go Home Depot. Come on. Fess up, Raymond. You know it was you. They got you on video.
Anybody want soup?
Ma, come on. We're talking over here.
So if you learn anything from Hippo Juice, remember Ray Romano allegedly punched his wife in an elevator.
Right.
We don't report the news accurately. We report half of it. Whatever. It's still news. So fuck you guys. This is more entertaining than some football player.
Listen to the Hippo Juice show live every Wednesday night, 7 to 9 p.m. on morelikeradio.com.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
Well, that's where they started, yeah. But a priest biting another priest's ear off?
Colorado Dickhead said, did you see the dude in Texas who beat the minister to death with an electric guitar? You hear about that?
An electric? What, do they don't have? What, do they have a slide guitar down there? They don't have electric guitars down
there?
It
was Monsignor Hendrix who did it. I just made that up. Thanks, Colorado Dickhead.
Father Clapton. Goes ape shit.
Brother Becht.
Friar Ray Vaughan goes ape shit in church, and now there's a big news.
Rabbi Little Richards.
We'll go with Keith Richards.
Father Van Halen. Yeah, very nice. Yeah, Eddie Van Halo.
The Conti and Kenny Show. Monday nights, 7 to 10 on morelikeradio.com.
Listen to More Like Radio every Tuesday night for the answer to this question that's on everybody's lips.
What does the trunk say?
On your fuck. Oof. Ah!
What the trunk say?
I'm not one that judges penises.
Blah, 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 blah.
I can't understand what...
What does the trunk say?
Do it in a bourbon barrel. I am all over the goddamn place, okay. Oh, let me, see this from,
What the trunk say?
I will fucking do that. I think that's enough of the racism there. Okay.
What does the trunk say?
Alcohol by Volume, Tuesdays 6 to 8 p.m. only on morelikeradio.com.
High Society Radio is now part of morelikeradio.com.
Who's all part of the More Like Radio cavalcade of stars? Oh, who are you joining there?
Oh, well, Hippo Juice, they're the soul behind More
right.
Like Radio. And we're jumping on there. High Society Radio, that is.
What other kind of shows are over there, though?
Oh, there's plenty. There's just a roster that's ridiculous. There's 360 on 420.
Mm-hmm.
There's a gentleman show. There's Ain't Social Gamer Radio. There's the Red Show. There's Daytime Divas.
Okay, so you're not out there by yourself in the cold anymore.
No.
You're fucking with...
a family.
Yeah, a real family. A family of gangsters.
Take the edge off. MoreLikeRadio.com. It's like rap music you can understand.
Damn, it feels good to be a gangster.
Their murder with a side of sexy biscuits on Southern Fried Homicide. But now, get ready for lust, betrayal, and murder on Hot Load Case Files.
Oh, yeah, three of the best shows in a row.
Is the lube over there?
Yeah, I got lube right here.
Well, get over here, big guy.
Yeah. What the hell? Yeah, hi, we aren't getting our informative murder porn. No, none of our channels that have informative murder porn appear to be working. Yeah, the screen just says, how do you tame a horse in Minecraft? Yes, we do have children. A what? A parental lock? Stan! How do you tame a horse in Minecraft?
What?
What is Minecraft and how do you tame a horse in it?
You guys don't need to be watching that stuff.
Oh, come on! You can't block your parents from watching informative murder porn! What, you think if we watch shows about married people killing each other all the time, we're going to go out and do it? That's stupid. I'm not going to go out and kill your mom just because I watch Investigative Discovery, Stan. It'd be impossible to clear away all the DNA evidence anyway. Even if I hired someone else to kill her, I'd have to kill that person too, because 96% of the time, that person eventually tells the truth. I've thought this through a lot. Stan, you're a lousy kid. I wish Jaden Smith was my son.
And welcome back, ladies and gents, to the second part of Antisocial Game Radio, live on MoreLikeRadio.com. Yes, as I promised before the break, I would be talking about what's going on with Silent Hills. Basically, overall, it's been cancelled, but as I was away, I haven't had a chance to read any of the details or whatever's been going on. So basically, I will be reading it right now and informing you lot. Ooh, excuse me, a bit... Oh, this bloody cold won't go away. Silent Hills is not going to happen, according to Hellboy and Pan's Labyrinth director Guillermo del Toro, who has worked on the game with Hideo Kojima and The Walking Dead actor Norman Reedus. According to photojournalist Matt Hackney on Twitter, del Toro made the revelation at the San Francisco Film Society event last night. This is about a week ago. The director reportedly said during a Q&A about Silent Hills, it's not going to happen, and that breaks my greasy heart. Since there hasn't been any publicly released audio of this, we'd normally classify as a rumour, but then Norman Reedus confirmed the project being dead in the water on Twitter. It says, super bummed about this, really looking forward to it. Hopefully it'll come back around. Sorry, everyone, Reedus wrote on a tweet linking the article to an article on Fansided about Del Toro's quote. It was officially suspected that this would be the case when Konami announced that it would be removing the game's playable teaser, PT, from the PlayStation Store on Wednesday the 29th of April, so basically last week. Basically, we do have an update on this story. I think there's two. Konami has confirmed Silent Hills has been cancelled. In a brief statement, Konami said the development of the game had ceased. Konami is committed to new Silent Hill titles. However, the embryonic Silent Hills project, developed with Guillermo del Toro and featuring the likeness of Norman Reedus, will not be continued, Konami said. Earlier today, Konami said that it would continue to develop games in the Silent Hill series. Basically, was other stuff as well. Here it says, Konami has sent over a brief Q&A on the likely Silent Hills cancellation. Says, the Japanese company says it will continue to develop the Silent Hills series, but it fails to deny Silent Hills. It's been cancelled. But yeah, I say it's a shame. I was really looking forward to this game.
because I mean the PT demo scared the shit out of me. I'm like, yeah, this is a game I want to play, and there are no horror games anymore. Resident Evil isn't what it used to be. Dead Space is pretty much dead in space because I'm still waiting for that fourth one to finish off the whole, you know, Dead Space saga. Silent Hills is, I don't know. See, this Silent Hills game looked really good, really scary, and basically what Silent Hill should be. But that, say, I mean, Konami's making games in the Silent Hill series. They're just not making. Just not making any more of, you know, making what we wanted, what we'd like to see. So basically, they are going to make the game, the Silent Hill games that we have been getting, the shitty ones, the ones we don't want to see, you know, the ones that haven't been good since, what, 2, basically, which is a shame. But yeah, I mean, I would have liked to have seen this and played it, but as it's not happening, what the fuck can we do? And basically, nothing is the answer. All right, let's go into some Batman stuff. There's a whole bunch of Batman stuff that I want to get to, basically, because we've got the season pass details and everything else that's coming out. So basically, I want to get to that. But yeah, the £33 Batman Arkham Knight season pass. Batman Arkham Knight has a season pass, as you might have expected, but what you might not have expected is just how expensive it is. Let me just scroll down. There we go. Yeah, the season pass costs £32.99, which is, you know, British pounds. For this, you get the regular new content for 6 months following the 23rd June of this year. Launch of the open world action game, according to publisher Warner Brothers. Basically, that's their taglines. The new content includes new story missions, additional supervillains who invade Gotham, Gotham City, legendary Batmobile skin, so I'm guessing from when they say legendary, I'm going to guess we're going to get it from the fucking 60s TV show. And hopefully the Batmobile skin from the 90s cartoon, the animated series. That would be awesome. I don't know. So maybe more for, like, you know, dress it up as the Tumbler from the, you know, the Chris Nolan trilogy. Well, that'd be nice. This is advanced challenge maps, alternative character skins. So basically different costumes for Batman and the various characters, new drivable racetracks, for the first time in, you know, Rocksteady's Arkham series. Knight lets you drive the Batmobile around. Yeah. Okay. That's cool. Also available in the Batman Arkham Knight premium edition, which includes the game and the stuff you get for the season one, for the season pass on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, that will cost $87.98. The premium edition costs $67.98 on PC. The digital version of the game, digital version of the base game cost $54.99 on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, and $34.99 on Steam. So there's no saving with the premium edition. It's just it's more about publisher Warner Brothers and making it easier to be as possible for people to pre-order the whole lot in one go. Yep, if you really want your pre-order. Elsewhere, you can pick up the physical version of the base game on console for around £45, but no doubt that will probably go down in price as basically the game goes on, as, you know, we get closer to release, as usually does with this. So, yeah, check it up for £50, £45. Goes down to about £40, the usual, you know, price for a game over here. Arkham Knight already has a raft of pre-order bonuses going on. If you pre-order, you can play as Harley Quinn in a series of challenge maps set within the Bloodhaven Police Department, which should be pretty good. And don't forget, PlayStation has the exclusive on Scarecrow Nightmare Missions. So that's there as well, which is great because, you know, I have it on PlayStation. But there's other stuff as well that we are getting, because there was a trailer. Just trying to see if I can find. Here we go, yeah. There was a trailer we got, and it basically shows off Robin, Nightwing, and Catwoman. But yeah, I'll go into this because there's an update on this. I'll go through the original story first. A new Batman Arkham Knight trailer has shown off off superheroes Robin, Nightwing, and Catwoman. The video below, which is on the page, shows Batman working with Robin, Nightwing, and Catwoman in what looks like tag team combat. Developer Rocksteady and publisher Warner Brothers has yet to announce any kind of co-op gameplay, so we assume that it's a simple tag team attacks with computer-controlled allies in perhaps challenge rooms. Either that or selected points during the combat campaign, Batman can work together with one of his partners in crime. We already know you can play as Harley Quinn as a playable, as a downloadable content character, maps pack. As Queen, you fight with within the Bloodhaven Police Department in a story that takes place prior to the events of Arkham Knight. So basically, a joiner between Arkham City and Arkham Knight. And finally, the video confirms mysterious assassin Azrael in the game, although to what extent we don't know. Yeah, that was a downer for me. It was sort of a downer and an upper because I'm like, well, yeah, Azrael, that's pretty cool. But then, oh yeah, Azrael, is it the John Paul Valley version? Is it the new version that we got from a couple of years ago when I read comics? Last time I read comics before the whole New 52 bullshit went happened. But yeah, there's an update on this. It's basically the Batman Arkham. Batman Arkham Knight has a new dual play mechanic. Warner Brothers confirmed. This sees the player switch seamlessly between Batman and his allies, including Robin, Nightwing, and Catwoman in free-flow combat. So no co-op then, as some took the trailer below to indicate, but exciting nonetheless. Yeah, I say, the trailer looks really good. I just don't like the look of Nightwing and Robin, because Robin looks like Chris O'Donnell from the Batman Forever. And even though it's a good sort of fan series on YouTube, the Nightwing costume looks like the Nightwing costume from the YouTube TV series that we've got, which is actually really good, but I don't know, it's just not how I see Nightwing, to be honest. I mean, there could have been a bit more, to the comics, but I guess they've sort of done some real world workings with the characters, and I guess you could say switch seamlessly between the characters in free flow combat. I'm not sure what that means. I mean, yes, I know what it should mean, but I'm like, well, yes, Robin has a cape and he can fly around, though, whereas like as Batman does with the gliding. But if you could play as Nightwing, he doesn't have a cape. What do you do? I don't know. Unless they've given him a cape and it just pops out like Batman of the Future. Terry McGinnis's Batman suit. I don't know. We'll wait and see. But there's more to this as well, because there's just so much stuff on Batman. I've got so much news on every damn thing. Right. So where is it? Ah, here we go. Yeah, some PC requirements for Batman Arkham Knight. Rocksteady has detailed its PC system requirements for the upcoming trilogy finisher Batman Arkham Knight. Those looking to hit the game's recommendation settings benchmark will need at least 55 gigabytes of RAM hard drive space, along with 8 gigabytes of RAM and 3 gigabytes of graphics memory. The list below, courtesy of NVIDIA, also details the minimum and ultra settings for the game. Batman Arkham Knight is set to finally land on PC, PlayStation 4, Xbox One on the 23rd of June, so pretty much a month and a half from now. And it's set to be Rocksteady's final visit to the Batman franchise for the time being. I hope it's not for the time being. We'll get more stuff in the future, but we'll wait and see. Minimum system requirements include OS Win 7. God, I'm not going to read all this shit. It's all fucking computer stuff. But yeah, just basically, I mean, minimum settings, you're looking at DirectX 11. As I said, 2 gigabytes of graphic memory, 55, basically what I just said, basically. And for the Ultra settings, it's pretty much NVIDIA tooting their own horn from the looks of what the items you need. Well, yeah, you're going to need this NVIDIA GeForce GTX 660 for that, and then, But I say the game is going to look good anyway, and if you're not worried about on PC, just buy a fucking console. This is why, people hate PCs, because it's literally, you can go on about this and this and have it, all this sort of sets, and, Whereas you could just buy a console and it just basically you play it and it does it. Here we go. Yeah, the final bit of the Batman stuff that I do have for you. Batman Arkham Knight Season Pass lets you play as Batgirl. So basically another character. The Batman Arkham Knight Season Pass will let you play as Batgirl, publisher Warner Brothers has revealed. Last week, Warner Brothers came under fire for the pricing of the Batman Arkham Knight Season Pass for being as pricey as it was. It promised new content for 6 months following the game's release. Well, I've said several times already. But it failed to stop many from saying it was too expensive. Posting on Facebook, Warner Bros. Said it had heard from our community that you want more information on what would be included. So it published a list clearly in a bid to alleviate concern about the value of the season pass. While we aren't ready to unveil every aspect of the content we'll be developing, we would like to share more detail on now to give you a better sense of scope on the season pass. Of particular interest is a Batgirl Matter of the Family, which Warner describes as a prequel story expansion. It also includes a new location where you play as Batgirl for the first time in Rocksteady's Arkham series. Elsewhere, the Season of Infamy lets you play as Batman in the new story missions where supervillains invade Gotham City. This includes new story arcs and missions. Then there's the Gotham City stories in which you play as Batman's allies in narrative missions, extending their storylines from both before and after the events in Arkham Knight. So I'm guessing you get players Nightwing, Robin, Catwoman, you know, respectively. Maybe Azrael as well. We'll have to wait and see. You also get to drive the Batman, drive differently themed Batmobiles on custom built racetracks, each tied to the Batmobile of that specific era. So we're looking at, you know, the 60s Batman, you know, and various others. Every Batmobile will be drivable across every racetrack. So basically, there's no limitations of what you can do on each car. But hopefully they feel differently and handle differently. Otherwise, I don't know. Matt, he's just in the chat. He said, too cheap for that. It's kind of bargain money. You should only get to play Azrael or Jason Todd. Well, I mean, I don't mind paying that £30 for a season pass. I don't know. I mean, from what, to be honest, I mean, they started moaning about the price. I mean, I from what I was reading, okay, that makes a lot of sense. And the fact that we got that trailer where you have, you know, Robin, Nightwing, and that, it's all going to be worth it. I mean, to be honest, it's the final game from Rocksteady, and it looks awesome. We've been waiting long enough for this bloody thing, and they're adding tons of DLC. So I don't know. I'm a bit. Max is maybe we'll get the George Clooney nipple suit. You know, I was watching on YouTube one of those Cinema Sins things, talking about 20 minutes going about how bad the Batman Forever movie is. I think it was just nitpicking it, especially at 20 minutes long. But yeah, I don't know, maybe we'll get a whole bunch of stuff, but there's a bit more. This is a drivable theme Batman. Yeah, that's it. And finally, as you'd expect, the season pass comes with new challenge maps, character skins from across the eras, from Batman, Robin, Nightwing, Catwoman. The idea is Arkham Knight will see monthly content drops, Warner said, and the season pass will get all of it. Yeah, so basically, we're looking at 6 months of content from what I'm reading here, and basically for paying the whole £32, which should be about $45, I think, you get that as well. But yeah, I say I'm not too fussed. I mean, we've been waiting long enough for this game. People are going to buy it. Rocksteady are going out with a bang, and they basically want to make as much money from people as possible, which is why the price is so high. Because whatever Rocksteady wants to make next, they want money in their pockets. And to be honest, if the content is good enough, then fuck no. Why shouldn't they have that money that, you know, they want us to pay for all this sort of stuff? But yeah, I'm just sort of, you know, I mean, my main thing is, what I want to know is, who is the Arkham Knight? And I'm guessing it's fucking Tommy Elliot, you know, Hush, but I mean, even though it's still game, still far away, you know, I still don't know that too much about it. Well, it's not too far away, but it's like, you know, we've seen a couple of bits here in a trailer, but, nothing too major, really. All right. Excuse me. All right, where, here we go, yeah. Now, I love this game, and I know JJ from 360 on 420 hated it. Watch Dogs 2 spotted on Ubisoft on Ubisoft programmers' LinkedIn. It appears to be in development, according to a LinkedIn profile of a Ubisoft senior gameplay programmer. First spotted by video gamer, the Ubisoft staffers CV initially said that they were working on Watch Dogs, Bad Blood, and Watch Dogs 2. Bad Blood was Watch Dogs DLC, but no official mention had been made about Watch Dogs 2. The listing has since been amended to remove the mention of an unannounced sequel. We all knew Watch Dogs is coming. Watch Dogs 2 is coming. The game was awesome. It really was. As of last October, Watch Dogs had shifted 9 million copies. Back in January, the game's creative director, Jonathan Morin, said that a sequel would have to appeal to fans in a new way, and that he feels like, there's a lot of room for improvement on the series. Eurogamer reached out to Ubisoft and haven't got anything back yet. Well, we'll wait and see. But I did love Watch Dogs. I mean, it's I can't sell the game if I want to because it's a pack-in title with my PlayStation 4. So, if I want to sell it, I've got to sell PlayStation 4 as well. All right, there was, I think, some Star Wars stuff. Yes. We'll do a whole load of Star Wars stuff because I've got about half an hour left before the show ends. More Star Wars titles are available on the GOG. GOG has announced another slew of of LucasArts titles that have arrived on its digital distribution platform. Today is seeing the digital premieres of Star Wars Rebel Assault 1 and 2. They were live-action FMV alt-rail shooters from 93 and 95. I think I played Rebel Assault 2. It was bad, but it was good, Rebel Assault premiered on PC, PC, Sega CD, and Mac, while its sequel came. Sequel came to PC, Mac, and PlayStation. Yes, I remember having that one. Star Wars Jedi Knight 2, Jedi Outcast, and Star Wars Jedi Knight Jedi Academy have also made their GOG debut. Furthermore, the Star Wars X-Wing and TIE Fighter games have just been upgraded to collector's CD-ROM editions, which added upgraded graphics with a classic Muse sound system and a refined flight engine. This is a free upgrade to those who own it and comes included with any new purchases. Elsewhere, GOG added two Star Wars bundles, offering heavy discounts between now and Star Wars Day. Fuck, I love Star Wars, but Star Wars Day bullshit's getting on my fucking tits. The Saber bundle is the most robust of the two, with 10 games collected at 77% off, making it $22.44 in US dollars, which is about £15, rather than $97.90, about £64. It would cost for all of these games separately. This includes Star Wars Battlefront 2, Knights of the Old Republic 1 and 2, both Dark Forces games, Jedi Knight 2, the Jedi Outcast, Jedi Academy, and Republic Commando and Starfighter. That's not bad, actually. That's a good bundle because those are pretty much the best of the Star Wars games that you're going to get. Meanwhile, the Blaster bundle contains 7 titles from the combined total of $38.93, which is about £25. And this includes Star Wars X-Wing TIE Fighter Series, X-Wing Alliance, Rogue Squadron 3D, Rebellion, and Galactic Battleground Saga. So what I'd do, to be honest, I'd say I'd buy the Saber bundle and then just pick up, the X-Wing and TIE Fighter games because those were awesome. Right, what else we got? Let's have a look. All right, here we go. Where the fuck is it? I had it right here. Here we go, Star Wars Battlefront. Star Wars Battlefront will feature 12 multiplayer maps, I don't know, I'm going to read the article before I add my 2 cents. Yeah, Star Wars Battlefront will have 12 multiplayer maps, publisher EA has announced. In a recent blog post about the new planet Sullust, developer DICE noted that there are even more locations when you include the Star Wars Battlefront missions. Some of the maps support our epic modes like Walker Assault, while others are tailored to more intimate close quarters combat, DICE added. The developer also revealed more details about Sullust, including some concept art. Loosely based on Iceland, Sullust is a bleak volcanic world of chilly rock formations and bubbling lava buried beneath the surface in some places and forming red-hot ravines in others. It's very barren in a beautiful way, said lead of environment artist Andrew Hamilton. It hints all the features in our concept and all the content we need to gather. All the materials, rock shapes, and even the lava. This new, hopefully iconic planet will also have a large Imperial presence as its home to a mine that's similar in architectural design as the Death Star. It's all about grounding in reality. Everything needs to look something like something you could actually imagine existing. added Hamilton. That's what we want to do with Sullust, make it feel like out of this world, but it can actually exist. Star Wars Battlefront is due out on the 17th November, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. Now, I'm having so much fun looking forward to this game. I mean, I'm a big Star Wars fan, but yeah, this game is going to be really good. I mean, I would love it if they... I mean, I know it's a bit of a piss take to say yet. We're getting the Hoth map. We're getting Endor. I would love it if we got some of the Star Wars, you know, the Death Star Trench Run. Just a sort of like a mini specific thing, like you have to stop people doing it or you have to do it yourself. You know, just to be part of it. And maybe like from the end of Return of the Jedi, you know, going inside the Death Star. That would be great, but great mission to do. But yeah, I say it's going to be a great game. It really is. I can't wait. It's going to be, you know, months in the waiting, but it will come around soon enough. Right. What else we got? Here we go. Yes. The Oyu. Oya. There we go. Seeks quick sale as debt mount. Android micro my lungs are going to die on me. Android micro console manufacturer Oya is looking quick to find a buyer that can absorb the company's mounting debt. Oya initially raised $11 million in funds from investors, but then quickly added another $10 million to its money pot from venture debt company Triple Point Capital. That's on top of the mounting. On top of its mammoth $8.5 million haul from the gadget's successful Kickstarter campaign. Now, in a confidential email leaked to Fortune.com, the extent of Oya's finances, or lack thereof, have become clear. The initial documents penned by company CEO Julie Ehrman explained that recent debt reconstruction negotiations had been unsuccessful and that Oya now needed to find a buyer fast. Given our debt holders' timeline, the process will be quick. We are looking for expressions of interest by the end of the month. Our focus is now on trying to recover as much investor capital as possible. Why did they think this thing was going to be successful? Just because you put money into fucking something doesn't mean it's going to work. It's not the first time that Oya has sought to be published. Last autumn, the company reportedly had held early talks with several Chinese technology companies and reached out to fellow Android champions Amazon and Google. After an initial spike of attention, Oya has struggled to hold consumer interest, but the company has attempted to turn its fortunes around and last year launched the poorly received Free the Game match funding initiative, which became mired in accusations that dodgy developers were exploiting the scheme to double funds from the dubious Kickstarter campaigns. Oya then tried to profit from tie-ins with Madcat, Mojo Microconsole, and with various smart TVs and set-top boxes. But again, it has been unsuccessful in reining interest. Yeah, it never was. But people are going to play Android games on their phone or tablets, not on consoles. That's not the point. That's why we have... for fuck's sake. And if you put your money into this, you are sad fuck. You really are. There's another thing from Julie Ehrman. She says, we believe we built something real and valuable. it's a fucking golden paperweight. I continue to read the tweets and emails from our fans who play the Oya every day. And our catalogue is now at over 1,000 apps and... excuse me, 40,000 developers. We have the largest library of Android content for the TV, still more than Amazon. This thing's a fucking dead stick. And basically, you put money into it, you deserve to have your head chopped off. But yeah, I say, this was never going to be successful. It was an interesting concept, but yeah, it just was a pile of shit, basically. Let's move on to something just as positive. Warcraft movie slips 3 months to June 2016. Yes, that Warcraft film that they are making, whatever. Yeah, the Warcraft film inspired by World of Warcraft has suffered a delay. It was due out in March of 2016 and is now out in June. 10th of June, specifically, reported by Variety. Apparently, Studio Universal decided Warcraft should be a summer film, explained director Duncan Jones, who made them. Why the fuck would Duncan Jones, who made Moon, which is a great film and everyone should see it, be interested in this piece of shit? Yeah, they want to make it a summer movie because that's when all the money will come in for it, because even if it makes a fucking loss, you're still going to make shit tons of money of seeing this Warcraft movie. Duncan Jones talked a bit... That shows you how bad they think the film's going to do. They have to move it to a summer movie just so it'll make some fucking money. And with 2016, you've got fucking Batman, Superman, you've got Captain America, Civil War. Yeah, it's good luck. Duncan Jones talked a bit about the Warcraft film at BlizzCon 2013. He said it would be a mix of live-action CGI sequences. Yes, that was Star Wars. Described it as Avatar meets Game of Thrones. Yeah, Avatar was a piece of shit. And Game of Thrones is good, but... he was aiming at a PG-13-12A rating, hardly Game of Thrones. But yeah, the question is, will Universal and Jones top film top this? Nah, not really. I don't think this film's going to do well at all. I think it's going to fucking die. It's going to make money, right? Because, I mean, the Need for Speed movie, that made money for some reason. This is going to make $300-400 million. But... yeah, it's going to make money, but it's just, I don't know. I don't think it's going to be good. I mean, I think there's going to be a small dedication of, like, hardcore World of Warcraft players who are going to go and see this film and say it's shit or good or, you know. I just don't think it's going to be what the World of Warcraft fan base wants it to be. And I don't think it's going to be anything else either. And to talk about sort of MMOs and stuff, The Elder Scrolls Online, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, requires a 15 gigabyte day one patch. This will be required day one patch for Elder Scrolls Online Tamriel Unlimited for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. The revelation was tucked at the bottom of an FAQ accompanying yesterday's Elder Scrolls Online beta invite news. The reason for the 12 gigabyte patch is the game is bigger than a Blu-ray disc, 50 gigabyte capacity. ESOTU is an incredibly massive game, both in terms of sheer scope and the data required to bring you this truly enormous experience. At the moment, the clients will exceed a 50 gigabyte Blu-ray disc, which means will also be a large day one patch that is somewhere in the region of 15 gigabytes, explained Bethesda. There haven't been any games on PlayStation 4, Xbox One that come on or successfully use multiple discs. How does Final Fantasy 14 do it then? Because the game looks amazing and it's massive. How does that do it? And then, you know. And the graphics look better. I mean, you know, listen to an hero from, you know, Limit Break Radio, who has played Elder Scrolls Online and says it looks terrible. How is it, you know, what we're getting with Final Fantasy 14 can look better and play better and still not be as much as what you're putting on, you know, capacity-wise on a Blu-ray disc? We had an almost identical scenario with Halo Chief the Master Chief Collection on Xbox One, which had a 15 gigabyte day one patch for the same reason. Back then, Microsoft said it wasn't feasible to offer the game on two discs, suggesting it couldn't rather than it wouldn't. The Elder Scrolls Online closed beta begins. Yes, basically, it's pretty much done now because this was like last week. But yeah, full PlayStation 4 and Xbox One launch on the 9th of June, well over a year after the game's original PC launch. So we'll see how well it does. I mean, this is the most news I've heard about this game in a while. So maybe it'll pick up interest on a console. We'll wait and see. I don't think so, to be honest. Here we go. Yeah, I talked about this a couple of weeks ago with little Danny Radcliffe. Going to be in the GTA drama, but they've cast Bill Paxton to play Jack Thompson. Hang on, let me scroll down. This is an update on this. Yeah. Bill Paxton, star of A Simple Plan, Private Hudson in Alien, and Private Hudson in Aliens, will be playing disbarred lawyer Jack Thompson in the BBC's upcoming drama surrounding development of Grand Theft Auto. As reported by Deadline, Paxton will start as opposite Daniel Radcliffe, who we know was in talks to play GTA producer Sam Houser. Thompson was a staunch opponent of the GTA series and frequently sued Rockstar whenever violent crimes were committed by people who also had an affinity for the developer's products. We got Howard Stern kicked off a radio station and took on the two live crew, Paxton said of Thompson. There's a gag order and he's still gone talk. There'd be a gag order and he'd still go on talk shows. He would write these hateful letters to people who he was litigating. He just got too emotionally caught up in it. The BBC drama, simply titled Grand Theft Auto, will be directed by Black Mirror and Misfits director Owen Harris and was penned by Rev and Ambassador scribe James Wood. Film is set to begin on 20th April, so basically it's going on now. But there's an update on this. It says, as expected, Harry Potter star Dan Radcliffe will replace will play rock star co-founder Sam Houser, while Bill Paxton will play disbarred lawyer Jack Thompson. The BBC describes it as a tale that's arguably the greatest British coding success story since Bletchley Park, which is a drama, I believe. I don't know. I don't really watch much TV. Just episodes of Flash again and again. It's triumphant. Triumph was down to a bunch of British gaming geniuses who had known each other since they were at their school days, and at the heart of it was GTA's creative mastermind, Sam Houser. In autumn 2013, its latest iteration, GTA 5, earned $1 billion in its first 3 days, becoming the fastest-selling entertainment product in history. But the violent gameplay, coupled with its outstanding commercial success, leads to fierce opposition from parents and worried children about immersing themselves in such a violent world, from politicians alarmed at the values they say it encouraged, and above all from moral campaigners who fight passionately to ban it. At the vanguard of the crusade is the formidable campaigning lawyer Jack Thompson, a man determined to do whatever he can to stop the relentless rise of Grand Theft Auto. Game Changer tells the stories of an extraordinary chapter. Blah, 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 it's all bullshit. But I remember playing Grand Theft Auto. It was violent, but compared to the shit we're playing these days, are you fucking kidding me? Was it late 90s? You think about, I would say that games like Medal of Honor and the Call of Duty back in the original days of Medal of Honor and Call of Duty, way more violent than Grand Theft Auto. It was top down, for fuck's sake. It's not like, you could run people over and stuff and you'd see the blood. But the first person shooters we had back in the day, even Doom and Duke Nukem, way more gory than what we got with fucking Grand Theft Auto. Grand Theft Auto was great back in the day, but I wouldn't say there's need to make a documentary of it, especially this far down the line. I don't know. But I say it could be interesting, worth a watch. I might watch it. I'm not that fussed, to be honest. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 5 gets revealed. Long-awaited Pro Skater, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 5 has been revealed in the latest issue of Game Informer. Do you think Game Informer is still going? Developed by Robomodo, who previously made Tony Hawk... I love this. Tony Hawk Ride, Tony Hawk Shred, which basically no one fucking bought. Pro Skater 5 is slated for release this year on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, PlayStation 3, Xbox 360. Versions to follow. Little is known about the upcoming title, but it will feature solo, co-op and competitive modes with online play. You'll also be able to level up your character and seamlessly transition between various game modes offline and on. That sounds pretty cool. There will also be new additions like power-ups and the ability to shoot projectiles during certain missions. We're not sure that these projectiles will be what will be exactly. Paint balloons, perhaps. Whatever. Pro Skaters appearing in the upcoming game includes Niger Houston, Aaron Homoki. I have no idea who these people are. Well, they got Tony Hawk's sons in this, Riley. Andrew Reynolds is back. That's pretty cool. Yeah. Basically, a whole bunch of skaters. You can create your own, I imagine. But you know, it's made by the people who do Shred and Ride. Those games killed fucking Tony Hawk. So we'll see. We'll see if it's any good. But I'm not putting, you know, anything good into this anyway. Here we go. Yeah. So I have to finish the show off. Firefly TV show actors reprise role for online game. Last we heard about a year ago, Firefly Online had convinced many of the actors from the TV show would reprise their roles and for the free-to-play online game, and they have. There are videos on the Firefly Online website and the Firefly Online YouTube channels of Nathan Fillion, Sean Mayer, Summer Glau, Alan Tudyk, Ron Glass, which I don't get because he died, and Alan Tudyk as well, Jewel State, hey, and Marina Baccarin, Anna Baldwin, basically everyone. The only person who, from the regular game, regular gang who seems to miss it is Gina Torres. What the fuck is she doing? Suits? I love Suits, but she's not really, you know, she can free up some time to do a bit of voice acting for a game. Firefly Online is due out in some form this spring for PC, Mac, iOS, Android. Given the platform spread, it's not about to rival EVE Online for complexity or looks, but that's not really the point. The companion app called the Firefly Cortex launched on Steam earlier this year to serve as a portal to everything the game does. There's no gameplay footage beyond a little roam around in a spaceship, beyond what was shown 8 months ago, but it may be worth to nose around when the time comes. I'd say I'm interested. I'm going to look into it. The game looks pretty sweet. Right, it's pretty much wraps up the show for this week, and it's announcement time. I'm pretty much ending the show with this one. Basically, I've done the show for a couple of years now, and basically taking as far as I can, and trying for me to move on. I know you're all crying your eyes out, or cheering, or you know whatever you do. I have had a lot of fun. You know, thanks to Matty for doing my intro and all my bits and stuff, giving me all the oil I needed to do the show, and thanks to Royce and Marie and everyone at More Like Radio for basically giving me a chance to vent. But basically, you know, I've done it for a good couple of years, and it's time for me to move on. I mean, I've had tons of fun. I'm not, you know, complaining and saying I haven't. I mean, several live events and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, I just, you know, time to hang up my headphones and move on. So basically, thank you all for all your listening, listening over the years and emails and everything else that I've got, and people in chat room all the time. I'm not going to cry. No, but basically, I've had a lot of fun, and basically, it's just time for me to call it a day. So basically, thank you all for listening, ladies and gents, and I will see you sometime in the future, I guess, doing something or other. I don't know yet. But thank you all for listening, ladies and gents, and goodbye.
Actually brought anything to the table?
Oh my god, yeah, what a sure. Bag of burden that British piece of shit was. Holy
a
shit.
A woman can pilot.
From everyone here at BBC Radio 4, this is Alice Arnold, hoping that you sleep well and wishing you a very good night. Good night.
The area forecast for the next 24 hours. Viking north at Sierra, south at Sierra, south or southwest, or northwest, or northeast or east. Occasional rain, wintry showers, occasional rain, rain or showers, occasional rain, moderate or poor.